I did mention, and most everybody has missed her, but Sister Rhonda, remember her this morning. She's very sick. She has all kinds of infection going on, and so remember, pray for her. She got sinus infection, ear infection, bronchitis, and laryngitis. So after being with me all these years, about to get her, I think. But for ushers to come, we receive morning time on. And do remember Sissy, Angel Clark, and the boys, and remember Willard also in your prayers. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing?
Lord, we just thank you here for another day to come out and worship you. Thanks for this beautiful day you provided for us. Lord, we just thank you here for our church, Lord. Lord, we pray you continue to bless us, Lord. Lord, we pray you make this offering, Lord, that may be a living witness. Bless the one and take the beautiful one's name. Sweet, holy name, we pray. Thank you.
Thank you. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and our church national anthem. We'll stand for that.
Praise the Lord. Worship His majesty. He's so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of anything that we would ever do. I tell you, I'm convinced when we get to heaven, we're going to be an embarrassed people. When we see what He has done and what He has prepared, and because of Him that we are going to get to enjoy what is in heaven, amen, we're going to say, why in the world didn't I praise Him a little more? Why didn't I do a little more? Why didn't I get more excited for the things of God? Amen. Amen. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? You would pray for me this morning. I've got I must have preached a little bit too hard last week. I know y'all find that hard to believe. I got some stuff going on too. Pray for me. Pray also what I've come with in mind to preach this morning. The Lord's changed that, so I'm gonna go a different route this morning. As we not gonna be on a parable, as we're getting ready to go into a series of meetings, and this series of meetings we call revival, and That's not the revival. That's a series of meetings. I hope we're in revival wide open before the meetings ever get here. And revival is reviving, getting back. If we've been sick and something, we get revived. We get back to where we was. If something happens, we get revived. We get brought back. And what happens in our daily walk, and not that we're bad people, not that we've gone back to the wild side of life, as my daddy and papa used to say. It's that we have got, sometimes we get our minds and our eyes off of the vision and the focus that God's got for us. And there's so many things, and I don't know about your life, I am so busy. I just have to pick what I'm going to do. And there's a lot of things gets undone. And we get into this this rat race. We get into this and we kindly get, whew. Is anybody there? Anybody ever get there? Amen. And we kind of get blown away. We kind of get set back and we kind of think, whoa. And what happens? We get our minds off of spiritual things. There's so many distractions, and I'm not saying we're bad people. We're just humans, amen. And we need. I tell you, the church, and not just us, but the church in general needs revival today. America needs revival. And I've been praying, boy, that Washington D.C. needs revival. And I want Washington D.C. to have revival, but it's got to start with me. It's got to start in my heart. And this morning, I've thought about this passage, and I had it down as a footnote in the message, and I studied a little more last night, and then this morning, God's just stirred my heart with it. But if you will, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14. I guess where I really messed up, I was studying last night, and I got on YouTube and listened to Mays Jackson preaching. Man alive, I still love to hear Brother Mays. When you find your place, 2 Samuel chapter 14, I'll read one verse, but if you would stand, we'll read verse 30. Second Samuel. Now I've changed my mind. I'm going to read more. Let's start verse 27. And Absalom, there were born three sons and a daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. When he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom and to his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered, Joab, because behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Gezer? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself to his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for all your goodness. And God, we do thank you for your touch and your call upon our lives. We're so thankful this morning that you are involved and concerned about individuals' lives. Lord, we ask you this morning to touch us. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I need you. Lord, I pray you touch and sustain my throat. And God, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, have your way. This This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about when God set your barley fields on fire. One thing about us all in here this morning, we've got a barley field. We've got something that's precious to us. Joab's barley field was precious to him. That was the food. And boy, if he liked bread anything like me, he'd like a good old cake of bread. And his barley field was precious to him. And boy, I want to think, and I want to take your mind right now for a few minutes. What are some things in your life that's precious to you? What is it that you long for? What is it that brings a smile to your face? What is it that cheers your heart up when you get your barley field? See, Absalom, his brother Amnon had raped their half-sister. And Absalom killed him. Been on a run from the king. And he's wanting to go back to the presence of the king. And then he come and the king said, okay, let him come back. And he'd been in Jerusalem 2 years, still hadn't seen the king's face. And he sent word to Joab and he said, I want to meet with you. I want to talk to you. I want to go back to get in the presence of the king. Joab wouldn't hear of it. He sent the second time. He said, I want to meet with you. I want to send for you. I want you to come. I want us to talk. And he said, he wouldn't hear of it. How many times in her life has God called? How many times? See, God, the Bible here, he called once, he called twice, but then he set the barley fields on fire. Then he got down where it hurt. He got down to the nitty-gritty of the matter and where the word he knew what would get his attention. See, God, sometimes, and I've said this before and I've said it so many times, sometimes that God, we break his heart when we go hard-hearted and stiff-necked and he has to burn our barley fields to get our attention. Amen. I think we break God's heart when we had to force him in to doing that. Sometimes he'll burn your barley field. Joab here wouldn't go till he heard the crackling of the barley. He wouldn't go till he seen the flames lapping up and taking his bread and his goods away for the next year. Moses is going to preach on it this morning, and I might deny, I don't know what I'll do. But anyway, Moses, God had called him. He'd seen God, the flame on the top of the mount. The Bible said when he turned aside that God spoke to him. And he said, Moses, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. Moses said, oh, no, you've got the wrong guy. I'm not going back. You remember, it went as far as he put his hand in and brought back and he was lepers. God had to move on him. God had to set his field on fire. God had to deal with him. And he still said, I'm not going. And I'm convinced that Israel, when he brought Aaron in, Israel may not have worshipped the golden calf if Moses would have been obedient to begin with. It was this Aaron that built the calf. But thinking of Moses also thought of Jonah. God said, Jonah, get on a boat, go to Tarshish, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. So Jonah went and got on a boat to Tarshish. I'm not going. Amen? Then we know there's a big storm came. The mighty waves came. The Bible said that they did everything it could do, and Jonah was asleep. Boy, I tell you what, sleeping Christians will bring the storms about. Sleeping Christians is a lot of the problem. Sleeping Christians is why America's in the shape it's in. I tell you, it's time that the church gets awake and we get on our face before God. And we wake up out of our sleep and our slumber and we get involved and get concerned about God's work. Amen. And when he calls that we answer and we don't say no. men of the ship, and they came to Jonah and they said, "Wake up! Go pray to your God that we're getting ready to go down." Jonah said, "Well, you might as well throw me overboard. I'm the problem. Right here, you might as well just chuck me over. I want to share something with you right here, right quick. I'm convinced." What does the Bible say? That God had prepared a great fish. No and ifs or buts about it. Jonah was going into the belly of the whale. If they hadn't thrown him overboard, the boat would have sunk. He'd have swallowed the whole boat one. That's right, brother. He was going into the belly of the whale. How many men's lives would they have lost if they hadn't thrown him overboard? Jonah was going in the water. No matter what, God had settled, God had had, that's it. How many people's lives around us is in turmoil and trouble and danger because of our disobedience? Ooh. When you're in a boat with somebody that's disobedient to God and it's on the run from God, you're in a dangerous boat to be in. Because I'm telling you, he'll set her on fire. He'll take her down if he has to. He'll do whatever he's got to do to spare your soul. He'll do whatever he's got to do if he's got to work for you to spare you so that you'll carry to accomplish his will. The Bible here said that he sent the second time and he still didn't come. Want to take just a few minutes and talk about the call of God. When he calls, how do we answer? When he calls, do we run? When he calls, do we say, "Well, I'm not coming"? When he calls and say, "I'm still young, I don't have time yet"? When he calls, do we say, "I'm too busy"? When he calls, do we say, "I got work to do"? When he calls, do we say, "I got to go down and play ball"? Then he calls, "I've got work, I got to work, I got to work that shift"? I tell you what, when God's call comes up on our lives, it's important that we take notice and answer and respond correct way. Joab wasn't interested in what Absalom had to say. How many folks are not interested in what God's got to say? They'll snub. I ran across, and I was doing some studying and going through the internet, and I ran across the website, and I sure didn't click on it. It was an atheist website, and you know the little captions you read, and it said, talked about some verses at his website to post your verse to make fun of the Bible. I said, "I want to see what that said." And I said, "No, I'm not even, no, I ain't going there. I'm not going nowhere near that." People have snubbed their nose at God's word. People have snubbed their nose at God's call. People have snubbed their nose at the things of God and the teaching and the things and society today has gone and says, "Live like you want to. Live like the devil. Laugh it up. Drink it up. Party it up. It's all right to have sex with whoever you want to. If it's a man, a man. A woman. A man and a woman. It don't matter. Just live like you want to." I tell you what, that's against and that's contrary to the word of God. God said to man, one woman, and a bed undefiled is what it says in the book of Hebrews. Glory, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. It's time that we as people, and especially Christians, start living moral, decent lives. Praise the Lord. I tell you one thing. Times might change. People say, "Preacher, it's 2019. Times is different. It might have changed. But God's word's still the same. God still hates sin. God's still against sin. And God loves people." Amen. Can you tell I've been in revival? Amen. When God calls in the way of salvation. A lot of people spurn, turn their heads, snub their nose. I'm not ready yet. I'm still young. I'm still I'm too busy. When I get some things, I don't know how many times I've heard that. I've heard this one. Well, I got to get some things straightened out, preacher. How many's ever heard that? I got to get some things straightened out. Things that's not right, I really don't need. That's what the Lord's for. Let Him straighten it out. If we're awake till we get it straightened out, we'll wake up in hell, like the Bible says that the rich man said, and in hell he lifted his eyes. He had to get some things straightened out, I'm sure. Salvation, the Bible said, today, the now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Come while you can. If God deals with your heart about anything, today, do it today. Amen. Don't wait till tomorrow. Well, I might wait till tonight, preacher. No. We're not promised anything. When God calls, if He calls the way of salvation, come while you can. Come and make a commitment to Him while you can. Commit your life to Him at a young age. Get in early and stay in. Amen. Salvation. Where are you this morning in salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that you've been saved? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Can you remember the time we sing the song? It was on a Monday. It was on a Tuesday. I heard a different version of that song down at the revival. We told the girls when we was down there. And it was after you go through Sunday, it says, I don't know what day it was, but somebody touched me. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. You may not know what day of the week it was, but you sure remember the time. And you sure remember when God got a hold of your heart. You sure remember when He stirred you and He said, come follow me. Come and be part of me. Let me have your burdens. Let me have your troubles. Let me have everything. And come and lay them down and let me carry them along. Come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for the good old salvation call? Amen. He may be calling to be faithful. The Bible says it's required in the steward that a man be found faithful. A steward is somebody that's been entrusted with something. God wants men and women to be faithful to the work of God. They want men and women to be faithful to the house of God. Want men and women to be faithful to witness. Be faithful in the testimony. Be faithful in the every part of your life. Being faithful to the cause of Christ. See, there's some people that won't make it unless we're faithful. And some people won't make it unless we don't forsake the assembling ourselves together and we get encouraged in the Lord and being with each other. I tell you what, if I'm away from the house of God just a little bit, I get hungry. Amen. I get discouraged. I'll be honest with you. I get mean. It's the preacher confessing. My cousin Dale's back here. He knows. And I used to. It still if I don't pray as much, it'll still creep back in. But I used to struggle with the temper worse than anybody I know. Bad temper. If I get away from God any at all, guess one of the first things that happens? That old mean thing crawls right back in. Amen. Boy, that's why I got to stay close to the fire. I got to stay in. I got to get in. I got to stay in. I got to pray up. I got to be involved. Or I'll be a rascal, Brother Jim. Hey, sure ain't nobody wants a preacher act like I do when I lose my temper. Y'all must know what I'm talking about. Your life. They say for a joke to be funny, it's got to have a little truth to it. What about the call of God on your life? You say, Lord, okay, I come into my heart and you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe a little while. God said, I want you to do this. I want you to preach the gospel. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I want you to get involved in God's work. I want you to be involved in what He's got you to do. I want you to do what I'd have you to do. Will you make a commitment to preach the gospel? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a big pill to swallow. I ran for a little while, but I didn't mean to run, but I was being sure. I wanted to be sure that my election was sure. I wanted to be sure that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's what God wanted to do. Amen. Then I finally came to the point. I said, God, I can't do it. If you really want me to preach, you'll have to anoint me. You'll have to do it. And I'll have to trust you because I sure don't know the Bible that good. I'm sure not too smart. I've not been trained. There's a lot better guys at this than me. But I'll do it if you want me to. I think you're making a mistake, but I'll do it. Amen. And I answered the call to preach. I was satisfied where I was. I was a deacon. I was involved in the church. I was as happy as a hog-eating sloth. Then God put a burr under my saddle. God started working on me. And I'm glad that He didn't have to burn a barley field. I'm glad He didn't have to send out and say, I hate to, but take His barley field away from Him. Mace Jackson told of a man he knowed personally, had a little boy 4.5 years old, and this guy had been preaching, and he's got mad at a church, and the church, a Sunday school class, and they got mad at each other. And he said he wasn't going back to church. He wasn't be doing nothing for the Lord anymore. This little 4.5-year-old boy, and he was out on the front porch, came up to him, and he said, Daddy, will you come and play ball with me? And he had his paper up, and he didn't want much to do with him, and the little boy said, Daddy, you don't ever preach anymore. You don't ever go to church with us anymore. A little Sunday school class, there's 5 of us in there. They're just 5 seats, but you can have my seat, Daddy. Won't you come back into my Sunday school class with me? He said, boy, I'll play ball with you all you want, but I'm done with that. I'll not go back. I'm not going back to church. I'm done with that. He pulled the paper back up in front of his face. He heard screeching of tires, and he looked, and a little boy's ball went across the road. The car had hit him. He ran and picked his little boy up, and blood was running out his ears and his eyes and his nose and his mouth. He said, Daddy, will you go back to church? I get better. Will you take me and go back to church? And he said, son, I'll go. He said at the funeral, Brother Mays, they'd ask him come preach a funeral. And Brother Mays said that after the funeral, the daddy was at the graveside and he slipped around and come up and heard him. He had his Bible and he said, God, I'll go where you send me. I'll do whatever you'd have me to do. But God had to take his barley field. God had to burn his barley field. Had to take his little boy to get his attention. I tell you, this morning it's an important thing that we answer the call, what God calls us to do. Amen. If He's stirring in our hearts and He's moving and a lot of the problems and the things that we go through, that God's having to burn our barley fields. Amen. He said, I sent once and you didn't come. I sent twice and you didn't come. So I had to burn your field. What if God's calling you to teach a Sunday school class, be involved in the work? Brother Tim is our Sunday school superintendent, can use teachers and can use patch workers. And what if God moves on your heart? Say, preacher, I can't teach a class. I couldn't either. Amen. But I did it anyway. Amen.
I stepped out anyway. I said, God, take me and use me. I prayed right there. Rhonda and I got rededicated our lives to the Lord. I prayed for 2 or 3 years. Maybe that's where I messed up. I said, God, I want to be in your will. Show me what your will is. I want to follow your will. I prayed. I'd go to revival. I'd go to the altar. God, show me what your will is. I want to be in your will. He said, just be active in the church. Unbeknown to me, he put me through intense training. Brought me right through. I'll tell you what, one of the most beneficial things for a pastor, I believe, is that I spent 9 years on the deacon board. I've heard preachers say, I've never been in a board meeting. And God called me to preach. And God put me pastor. See, God had trained. He had run me through the mill and had me ready. And he said, Tim, it's time. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. It's time to go preach the gospel. I don't know what God may be stirring on your heart this morning. It may be Bible college. It may be something involved in the work of God. It may be teaching a Sunday school class. It may be helping in VBS. It may be being on the security safety team. Answer God's call. Do what he calls you to do. Life's going to be a lot better. What if God's calling you to be pure in your life? I tell you, folks, we live in a world where I told earlier, anything goes. It's okay to live like you want to. It's okay to be involved in it. It ain't nobody's business. It's God's business. He's the author and the finisher of our faith and involved in every part of our life. And I tell you, a man ought to live moral and decent lives. Amen. If you're in church or not. I think I quoted a verse, but in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 4, I believe it is, says, marriage is honorable above all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God shall judge. Preacher, you're preaching a message that's way out of time. It's on time every time. When it comes out of the Bible, it's on time. It's relevant. It's up to date. It's the cutting edge. It's the best that there is. It's still going to get you to heaven. It's still going to make you help you to live a right and decent moral life. It's still the Word of God, the preaching of the cross. And to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that say, it's the power of God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad of the good old gospel. I'm so glad of the do's and the don'ts in the gospel. If you have a kid and you say, don't get in that road, you hate him, don't you? We thought they did, didn't we? Everything I want him to do, don't do that. It's because they love me. They were concerned about me. God puts up barriers for our safety, our protection, and our good well-being. What if he didn't put the barrier up to the ocean? We'd live on the coast. Bible says in the book of Job that he told the ocean how far it could go. Thank God for that. Thank God for a barrier. What if we didn't have 55 or 65 speed limits? Everybody be driving like Jay. Hong Kong! Preacher got you on that now. Praise the Lord for barriers. That's what God puts up. It's what the Word of God is about. Don't do this. Do this, and it'll be better for you in the long run. I don't know. I don't mention this much. But what God's telling you about tithing? What's God dealing with you about giving to the Lord? See, what I heard a preacher say one day, he said that today, he said, we don't have tithers much anymore, we got tippers. And I'm afraid I don't get many tips. But see, God will, just like he told, Mordecai told Esther, he said, if you don't step up, God will send somebody to deliver Israel. Your house, your father's house will be destroyed. But God will make a way and somebody will step up. And how do you know you might be here for such a time as this? If we don't tithe, God will make a way. He'll make a way and he'll provide and he'll supply. And I've seen him do it so many times. I wish I could give you a testimony right now, but I don't feel like I can. But God supplies our needs and goes far greater than we could ever think. If you don't tithe, I'll leave it at this. You are missing the blessing. God ain't missing out on a thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, if we deny, if we say, no, I won't. No, I'm not going to preach. No, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to get saved. No, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to live a pure life. No, I'm not concerned about these things, preacher. I've got a life to live. I've got things to do. I've got things I want to do. Then God may set your barley field on fire. He said, I called once, I called twice, and then I set your field on fire. I got your attention, Absalom said. I know what it took to get your attention. I know how to get you to come to my house. I know how to get you involved in what I was wanting. I know what to do. I tell you what, God knows far greater than anybody how to get your attention. I heard someone say that there's a lot of people in heaven because God's burning somebody's barley field to get their attention. And this morning, as we go, and I'm wanting us to get revived and get on fire for God, but greater than we've ever been. I'm not down, you say you're not. This is a spiritual church and I love you. But I want us to go further. I want us to get closer. I want us more involved. I want more power of God in the house. I want to be us used at a greater capacity. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning. If you just slip your hand up, nobody looking around, slip it right back down. You say, preacher, you hit an area this morning God's dealing with me about. Will you pray for me? Just slip your hand up and say, God's dealing with me. Bless these hands. Bless this hand. Bless this hand. Bless this hand. Bless these hands. Bless this hand. God's dealing with me, preacher. God's been stirring me. He's been dealing with me and drawing me about a specific thing. Anybody else in the house? Folks, let me tell you something. Don't make him set your field on fire. Don't make him. The next thing you hear will be the crackling of the barley. The next thing you hear and you see will be the flames of the barley coming up. It's too late. It's too late once he has to. It said, once the flame is kindled, you don't distinguish, you extinguish it. Father, as we come to you again, Lord, we thank you. God, for your goodness. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for everyone that raised a hand this morning. God, I thank you for your call. I thank you're still in the saving business. I thank you that you're still dealing with men's and women's hearts. And God, did I pray this morning for every hand that's raised, you'll bless and you touch. God, give them wisdom. Lord, I thank you for that call and ask you to bless in this time of invitation. I pray, God, that you'd move in this time of invitation. Lord, you'd have your way. I love you today and I praise you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to page 525. Page 525.
If God dealt with you, will you come? Will you step out right now and come and make a commitment? Say, God, I'll do what you want. I'll change whatever I need to. Will you come? What do you think that Joab felt when he stepped out and heard the barley crackling? That's Absalom done that. Why didn't I go when he called me? Why didn't I go when he said to come? I tell you, folks, if God's dealing with you, anything at all, won't you come and respond? Won't you step out? Because you don't want, once the flames start licking up, it's too late. It's too late. The barley field is gone. And God's had to do it to get your attention. Will you come this morning and nail it down, whatever God's dealing with you about? Will you come? Will you come? Still calling, will you come?
I'll serve thee.
Anything way of testimony.
I'd just like to praise the Lord this morning. He's been so good to me. It really blessed. When you look at things, this life, the way this world's going, really blessed. I just praise him this morning.
That's one of mine. That's my cousin. He might not claim me, but I claim him and his beautiful family. Amen. Amen. Anyone else?